And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it.
Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison, on Island Radio, KISL Avalon, at 88.7 on your FM dial, and at KISLAvalon.com on your internet dial. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more, on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. This evening's show is all about celebrations as we celebrate spring, celebrate the birthdays of Paul Specht and Hal Kemp, celebrate National Puppy Day, and because puppies don't stay puppies for long, National Dog Day. We're a little late with this celebration because spring officially started last Sunday, June 20th. That's okay, but just how do we know it's spring? Well, here's Johnny Morris with the Georgians to explain a few ways you can tell.
In the park, and with the coppers they hold hands and spoon until it's dark. When the mustard bites the hot dogs and they all begin to bark, then you know that spring is here. Thank you.
the afternoon, and wide awake underneath the moon. When you see a nurse and a handsome cop, takes her by the arm, makes the traffic stop.
She recorded primarily in the acoustic era, but there you have a June 2nd, 1932 electrical recording by Marion Harris, made in London, of Spring Is Here Again. Spring Is Here Again was written by Archie Gottler and Gladys Dubois, who also had a hand in They Call Me Sister Honky Tonk, I'm No Angel, and No One Loves Me Like That Dallas Man. Before that, you've heard Rube Bloom's recording of his piano solo, Spring Fever, many times on the show before. But there you had the piano duo of Constance Mehring and Muriel Pollack and their May 3, 1927 interpretation on Columbia. I like it. I like it a lot. In the mid-20s, both ladies were recording popular tunes separately for the Duo Art Piano Roll Company, but were appearing on radio as a duo, and in 1927 they began making piano rolls as a team also. We began our celebration of spring with the Georgians, and Spring Is Here, from April 13, 1926. The vocalist was Johnny Morris, and you're going to hear more about him and the Georgians in the intro to the next segment. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, March 24th, marked the birth in 1895 in Sinking Springs, Pennsylvania, of Paul Specht. He came from a musical family. His father was a band leader and church organist and was quite well known in eastern Pennsylvania, and another relative was a bugler for General George Custer. Paul received formal musical training, studying violin, piano, and music theory, and he was a member of the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. In 1914, he formed his own group called Specht's Society Serenaders, which played at the Fowler Hotel in Lafayette, Indiana, and which traveled to Illinois, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan, and New York. In September of 1920, his orchestra became the first full dance band to be on the radio when they were broadcast over WWJ in Detroit. The band's first recording was made in 1922, and the full band made about 200 sides for Columbia, with another 70 sides by the band within a band, known as the Georgians. In 1924, the band toured Europe, and that same year, Specht formed Consolidated Booking Exchange. He also wrote a number of songs, including Moonlight on the Ganges and Who Takes Care of the Caretaker's Daughter. He made his last recordings in 1932 and turned most of his attention to the booking business, although he did lead a band during the 1939 New York World's Fair. Paul Specht died in New York on April 11, 1954. Here's Paul Specht.
Mammy used to sing it, and Uncle Joe would play it on his banjo in the twilight fall. Hold this knee, my little drowsy babe. Hush your bye, now don't you cry, don't you cry. That's the tune my mammy used to croon. It's a Dixie lullaby.
Thank you.
Paul Specht and his orchestra with Dick Robertson, credited as Bobby Dix, and an unidentified vocal trio with Sing a New Song from Specht's final recording session on March 21, 1932. Sing a New Song was composed by Milton Ager with the lyric by Ned Weaver. Ned Weaver also penned the words to Trust in Me, Trouble in Paradise, and Sweet Stranger. He appeared on Broadway in The Second Little Show, but when it closed after just 63 performances, he turned to radio. And over the next couple of decades was heard in drama series including The Shadow, The Court of Human Relations, 20,000 Years in Sing Sing, Valiant Lady, and Young Widder Brown. From radio, he transitioned to television and movies. We began our tribute to Paul Specht with parts 1 and 2 of Echoes of the South, subtitled A Medley of Southern Airs, recorded by Columbia on December 22, 1926. You heard strains of Old Folks at Home, Carry Me Back to Old Virginny, Dixie Lullaby, and My Old Kentucky Home in there. The vocal trio in part 2 consisted of the drumming vocalist, or the vocalist drummer, Johnny Morris, and a couple of others identified only as Homeby and Eddie. Johnny Morris played with trumpeter Bob Efros in the Vincent Lopez Orchestra in 1924, and there's a wonderful story on the Bob Efros blog by Bob's granddaughter Barbara Efros about Bob and Johnny Morris's nephew, jazz guitarist and composer Joe Morris. There's also a great clip from 1932's The Big Broadcast featuring Johnny Morris, the drummer man. I urge you to visit the site at bobefros.blogspot.com. That's Bob Efros, EFFROS.blogspot.com. Today, March 27th, marks the birth exactly 109 years ago, that would make it 1904, in Marion, Alabama, of bandleader Hal Kemp. James Harold Kemp started playing piano at 6, switched to trumpet, alto sax, and clarinet, and was leading his own group while attending high school in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Kemp family had moved in 1918. In 1922, Hal entered the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where he formed a jazz group called the Carolina Club Orchestra, which toured Europe in the summer of 1924. In 1926, he formed Hal Kemp and his orchestra, the core of which was pianist and arranger John Scott Trotter, saxophonist Saxy Dowell, and drummer Skinny Innes, later a featured vocalist. Their big break came when Otto Roth booked them at his Black Hawk restaurant in Chicago in 1932, and their residency there led to broadcasts over WGN and the Mutual Network. Engagements at premier hotels followed, and they received national exposure from a series of sponsored radio shows, including the Chesterfield Program, the Quaker Oats Program, and the Gulf Gas Program. During the band's 15-year lifespan, they recorded more than 400 sides for Brunswick, Columbia, and Victor. For the band's California debut, they were booked at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles and the Mark Hopkins Hotel in San Francisco. But while commuting between those two venues, Kemp was involved in a head-on collision with a truck in heavy fog and died in a hospital 2 days later on December 21, 1940. Here's Hal Kemp.
black despair comes creeping, begging me my soul to loan. Laughter, teardrops, sorrow, bring what will tomorrow. I'm waiting for that thing called happiness.
University of Virginia. VMI.
Oh, in the circle, to win seems in vain. Then the chorus the loudest will yet win the day. The team, it will rally and fight, fight, fight. Rival game through the line and we'll circle the ends. Oh, red, white, and yellow will triumph again. The key death will rally and never they die. That's the spirit of VMI.
Davidson. University of North Carolina and Vanderbilt. Texas. Alabama. Georgia Tech. University of Georgia. In the last segment, we had a two-part medley of Southern airs, courtesy of Paul Specht, and there we just had a two-part medley of Southern college songs by Hal Kemp and his orchestra. I'm not going to list the schools, because as a convenience, Hal Kemp announced each of them for you. And if you're interested in the songs associated with the various educational institutions, I suppose you can do a Google search. Anyway, that single title recording session was on October 15th, 1930. We began our tribute to Hal Kemp with another single title session, this one from May 20th, 1929, the result of which was Waiting for That Thing Called Happiness by the Carolina Club Orchestra. I chose it because the vocalist wasn't Skinny Innes, Saxe Dowell, Bob Allen, or even Irving Kaufman, who sang with the group on several sides in 1929, but Pinky Kinsel. Eugene L. Pinky Kinsel, K-I-N-T-Z-L-E, was born in Iowa on October 17, 1905, and had played banjo and guitar in the orchestra since October of 1929. He also co-wrote Waiting for That Thing Called Happiness along with Hal Kemp and trumpeter Bob Mayhew. Pinky Kinsel died February 20, 1964 in Davenport, Iowa, and is buried in Muscatine, Iowa, the pearl button capital of the world. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on Island Radio, FM 88.7, KISL Avalon, the vintage music capital of the world, and at KISLAvalon.com. This and all our previous shows are also available 24/7 on demand anytime at all online at RapidlyRotatingRecords.com, and we're on iTunes as a podcast. This next segment is dedicated to Whitney and Riley. Last week, March 23rd, was the 10th anniversary of National Puppy Day, established to help save orphaned puppies and to educate the public about the horrors of puppy mills. Sounds like pretty good ideas to us. And just who are Whitney and Riley? Well, Whitney is my friend Charlie's new puppy, and Riley is the Bernese Mountain Dog puppy of my friend Michael. Riley has his own Facebook page, and if he grows into his paws, he's going to be a very large dog. So to help celebrate National Puppy Day, we've got some musical puppies to share with you, beginning with the original Indiana Five. Thank you. From March 7, 1927, the Mound City Blue Blowers, credited as McKenzie's Candy Kids, with Nervous Puppies, written by Red McKenzie. Before that, it was the Get Happy Band, a pickup group possibly put together by pianist Porter Granger with On the Puppy's Tail, recorded by Columbia on September 21, 1925. We began that puppy set dedicated to Whitney and Riley, both pretty puppies, with Pretty Puppy. That was the original Indiana 5 from a Jeanette 78 made around August 19, 1925. Pretty Puppy was written by Con Conrad and Saul Burney.
Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s, this is Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, and available anytime on demand online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
Despite your wishes for them to stay puppies forever, puppies quickly grow up into dogs. Fortunately for them, there's also a National Dog Day, which is celebrated on August 31st. But we're going to jump the gun a bit, and in this final segment have a set of rapidly rotating records about dogs, beginning with Carmichael's Collegians, who are walking the dog, which is a good thing to do.
By his physician to go away to the mountains for a rest. He went home, told his members of his family of what the doctor had said. He says, while I'm away, I don't wish to be annoyed by letters or telegrams. In fact, I don't want to receive any news of any kind. So he went away, was gone about 6 weeks. Returned to the city very much improved in health and very anxious for some news from home. Got off of the train at the depot, was met by his colored servant, and the following conversation ensued. He said, well, Henry, how is everything at home? Is there any news?
He says, no, sir. There ain't no news, sir. Everything is just about the same as when you all went away.
Nothing happened?
No, sir. There ain't nothing happened. There ain't no news.
Well, he says, you know, I'm just dying for some word from home now. You can tell me any little thing, no matter how trifling.
No, sir. There ain't no news. There ain't nothing to tell you, sir. except, there's just one little thing. Since you've been away, your dog died. Oh, it says my dog died, eh? Well, that's too bad. What killed the dog? Well, sir, the dog eats some burnt horse flesh. And that's what killed the dog. He eats burnt horse flesh. Where did he get burnt horse flesh to eat? Well, sir, you know your barn burned down. And after the fire had cooled off, the dog went and ate some of the burnt horse flesh, and that's what killed the dog. Oh, he says, my barn burned down, eh? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, indeed, the barn, that's all burned down. But says, how did the barn catch fire? Well, see, you see, the sparks from the house flew over, caught onto the barn, burned the barn down, burned up all the cows and the horses, and after the fire had cooled off, the dog went and ate some of the burnt horse flesh, and that's what killed the dog. Oh, he says, then my house burned down, too, eh? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, indeed, the house, that's completely destroyed. Well, how did the house catch fire? Well, sir, they had some candles burning in the house, and one of the candles caught onto the curtains, and the curtains caught onto the roof, and the sparks flew over and caught onto the barn and burned the barn down, burned up all the cows and the horses, and after the fire had cooled off, the dog went and ate some of the burnt horse flesh, and that's what killed the dog. He says they had candles burning in the house where I have gas and electricity. I never knew there was a candle in the place. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They had the candles there. They had the candles burning all around the coffin. The coffin? Who's dead? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's another little thing I forgot to tell you about. Since you've been away, your mother-in-law died. Oh, my mother-in-law died, eh? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She's dead, all right. You needn't worry about that. Well, it says, what killed my mother-in-law? Well, sir, I don't know exactly what killed her, sir. But around the neighborhood, they say it was from the shock of your wife running away with the chauffeur. But outside of that, sir, why, there ain't no news.
My goodness, what a fun record is that! You've heard of Kitten on the Keys? Well, there you had the Arcadia Peacock Orchestra of St. Louis with Dog on the Piano. The Peacocks were a White Territory band directed by violinist Jack Ford, and the Arcadia in Arcadia Peacock Orchestra refers to the Arcadia Ballroom in St. Louis. The group's pianist, Eddie Ward, displays his considerable talent in that recording, but if you listened closely, you can hear a second piano in there, perhaps played by accordionist Al Carcella. That OK78 was recorded in St. Louis on November 29, 1924. Dog on the Piano was written by Sophie Tucker's pianist and musical director, Ted Shapiro. And a smaller contingent from the usual 11-piece Arcadia Peacocks accompanied Sophie Tucker on a couple of sides she made in St. Louis in January of 1924. Before Dog on the Piano, we heard Nat M. Wills with his comic monologue, No News, or What Killed the Dog. That was Nat Wills' first recording, made on October 13, 1908, and it was his most popular, staying in the Victor catalog until 1927. We started off that canine segment with Walkin' the Dog, performed there by Carmichael's Collegians on May 5, 1928. Carmichael's Collegians was the first band that Hoagy Carmichael led while attending Indiana University, Bloomington, and I chose that record specifically for my friend and fellow vintage music radio host, Jackson Garrison, who is an IU student and proprietor of Off the Record, heard Tuesday mornings from 8 to 10 on WIUX at 99.1 FM or WIUX.org. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records on KISL at 88.7 on your FM dial or KISLAvalon.com. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.